Yo.
What up? What up?
Ooh, let's go, man. Bro, I almost forgot how to pod.
Dude, turn me up a little bit, man. I feel like I'm low.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Let me see.
There you go. Yeah.
Testing. All right.
Mic check. I think I got a little.
No, that's good.
I end up having a.
I think you're good.
Yeah. I end up having a lower mind though, so it doesn't pick you up. But I'm also so fucking loud that it's hilarious. We're like, I'm at like 50% of what I normally put you at.
Oh, really? Well, that's just like you, man. You're always a little extra.
I'm the middle child, bro. I was always fighting for attention.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Coming From Him podcast. He is Juan and I'm Sean, and every week we get together, have a few drinks, talk about things going on in the world, try to focus on things making an impact, whether they be good, bad, or otherwise. Hit them with a drink of the day.
Listen, man, before y'all get judgmental on me, we're having an Eagle Rare Old Fashioned. An Eagle Rare, if you're a bourbon drinker, is just...
This shit is hard to find, people.
It is, and it is a phenomenal bourbon. Like, it almost feels sacrilegious to even mix it with anything at all. It's such a good bourbon. And also, I gave it an attempt to make a cocktail with some brandy and the Eagle Rare and something else. Because I was worried about, like, fuck, we've been doing too many old fashions.
And never too many.
And Sean was he was very
the voice of reason.
Articulate, yeah. And reasonable, he said, fuck them. I was all right. And so after we tried that one, we just went back to an old fashioned. This shit is too damn good, bro. And the one with the chocolate bitters and the cherry, man. So just an Eagle Rare Old Fashioned. So obviously the 1.5 ounces
okay,
of
hold
the
on.
Eagle Rare.
Hold on. Anybody in Harlem, cover your ears.
Yeah, y'all can't make this. You can't find bitters, let alone Eagle Rare. So every time we say Eagle Rare, just go Jack Daniels. And then we say bitters, just have your abuela make you something. Some sazon or whatever. bro.
Just buy Hennessy.
Just buy.
Fuck it.
Henny and Coke. Henny and Pepsi. If you in Harlem, cover your ears.
Sorry, go ahead, man. I digress.
So Eagle Rare Old Fashioned, man. So in a mixing glass, fill it up with ice, add 1.5 ounces of the Eagle Rare, add about 1/2 ounce of simple syrup. If you make the like an all-natural simple syrup, obviously it's better. We use the regular simple syrup that we bought in a bottle. It's fine. And then we did Angostura bitters. No, sorry.
No.
We did chocolate bitters, cherry bitters.
Yes.
So chocolate bitters, cherry bitters, simple syrup, Eagle Rare. And then I like to do a bar spoon of the Bada Bing cherry syrup and all my old fashions. You stir that up and then you just pour it in a rocks glass with a giant ball of ice. And we went a little extra with the garnish. I have a lemon and an orange peel and a cherry. It's unnecessary. You could just see the orange or the lemon, but it tastes banging.
Check out the picture, people. This shit is good.
It's so good.
If you are a bourbon drinker and you know what Eagle Rare is, or even if you don't, definitely you got to try this one out. This is really good.
I feel stupid for even trying the other cocktail. And it wasn't that it was bad. It just wasn't. It wasn't wow. Which maybe we should do like a behind the scenes or like a director's cut cocktails. Like maybe we should post that cocktail anyway. Of like, yo, if you want to try it here.
Oh, that's true.
Because it wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad at all.
At all. And I think if it was another bourbon, we would have been fine with it. But because it's the Eagle Rare, you're like, you just like, got to do something worthy. Yeah. So we went old fashioned. It's so good. It came out so good. And Eagle Rare, honestly, I thought about just doing this on the rocks and it felt lazy, but I'm like, but it was the right choice probably, but it's so
good. No, man. But the old fashioned always hits, bro.
Always, man. Yeah, it can't go wrong with old fashioned. So try this out, people. Even if you're not a bourbon drinker, I would say Eagle Rare is probably a good one to start with because it's not overwhelming. It goes down smooth. It has great flavor. And then with an old fashioned, man, you can't go wrong, even if you don't like the old fashioned.
Now, the price point might be a little much for some people.
Yeah, that's true.
It's probably between 80 and 100 bucks on the
bottle. Yeah, about depending on where you get it from. And if you can find it, like...
If you can find it,
it's hard to find sometimes. Yeah. It's really hard to find sometimes. But yeah, so you don't pay more than 100 for it. But I think the bottom end is 80 and then between 80 and 100. So it's not exactly... You know, Makers or even Woodford, which I would say again, Woodford is really good for the price. You good bang for your buck, but If you want to try a little something.
Buffalo Trace is good, man. But yeah, we are repping Eagle Rare today.
Oh, absolutely, man. And so if you want to celebrate something or you want to spoil yourself a little bit 1 week with a bourbon, man, you won't be disappointed.
Absolutely.
At all. Yeah. It's so good, man.
All right, people. Cover for another week is going out to no one other than Mr. Puff Daddy Diddy.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go. So, I mean, this is probably old news right now. P. Diddy's house got mansions, right? I want to say.
Yeah, like L.A. three? And Miami. And
I want to say it was three.
Okay.
I could be wrong on that. But his mansions got raided, and he's been basically accused of sex trafficking, maybe among some other things. I know the sex trafficking was a big thing that came out to me.
Yeah.
And dude, we got to get into this because so many things kind of went through my mind of like, you know, me, like, so I'm a 50-year-old man. Diddy was huge in my sort of like upbringing in, as far as like music.
Yeah.
Music dude, wise and impact.
Diddy moved pop culture.
Oh,
in the
God,
90s
yes.
and early 2000s, bro. Diddy moved pop culture. Yeah.
So you figure like the Gen Xers and the millennials, mm-hmm. like Diddy is really high up there. And he is a billionaire right now, right? Like I want to say
I think he's one of the few. Yeah.
Right. He's one of the few, you know, Jay-Z, right? Dr. Dre. So he's one of like the he's one of these sort of like urban icons, if you will, and what he's done in the music business.
Dude,
has
owns
been phenomenal.
A TV network and record label, and you know
Revolt?
He just sold it. Yeah, the timing is a little curious, but he sold it to an anonymous buyer. But still own Revolt. Own, you know, record labels, own, you know, again, the who's who of the 90s and 2000s in music went through Bad Boy Records and Diddy and then say what you want about his rapping or his, you know, Diddy knew a hit and knew like the formula to create a hit as a producer and had just banger after. Yo, you and I have ones that we would
I'm laughing
forever. Yeah, I was gonna say, you laughing because you and I had one that was like late 2000s or not even mid 2000s that we would fucking quote all the time that was past his prime, quote unquote. And we still use that shit all the time. And it's like an opening line to his album.
Wasn't it like,
you fuck your dreams? The amount of times you and I have used, man, fuck your dreams.
Fuck your dreams. This is a reality.
Fuck your dreams, bro. And dude, going back, even like, obviously we know the stuff with Biggie and the hits he's had with Mace. But then even if you go back to like Making the Band and, you know, like the Danity Kane stuff and dude, he produced, if he wasn't on or whatever song, he produced some of the biggest songs, I think, of our sort of youth and of our party era.
And not for nothing, that dude, if you put Diddy on a track, that became Diddy's track.
It became Diddy's track. Dude,
there's one that he has with Future, when Future in his younger years, where I was like, oh, that's Diddy's track now.
And he won't even say much.
I don't know.
You couldn't even tell me what he said. He probably just sits there and goes, one, two.
I think it's the was it like the same damn time, that one? Same,
yep, bro. We're not even, and we're just talking about music. Like, from obviously, you know, the stuff he's being accused for now is, you know, and the carbon footprint obviously goes to, it's not like a lifetime achievement award for being a good human. It's just whatever. It's just impactful. So like, obviously we're talking about music, which is great, but, and we haven't even touched on the fashion stuff, right? With Sean John, we haven't touched on
ownership
of, you know, we just talked a little bit about the Revolt stuff, but just from a business, the Ciroc stuff with the vodka, obviously we drink here every week. We like, there's a lot of shit that's involved that revolves around Diddy, man.
We should have did Ciroc this week.
No, we should have, bro. Have we known this is gonna happen, bro? Oh my God. Can you imagine? We had a drink. Oh man, call it the traffic. Fuck it, next week.
Running red lights.
It's just, it's just a bunch of cherries. And what's Meek Mill into? We gotta get something from
Oh, damn.
Dude, the way they keep linking him and Meek Mill is fucking hilarious.
Oh, I know. It's funny, man. And you know, so like you to that point, right? So part of it is, you know, obviously there's like a charge for sex trafficking.
Yeah.
Which, so it's so vague.
Well, I think whenever we hear sex trafficking, we think of the worst
thing. Yeah, you do, man. And so trafficking to me, so, and again, you guys.
We watch Taken, and that's what we think about.
Yes. Yeah. And so, right, no, dude, that's a great point.
That's what we think about. That's a
fucking great point, bro. I think about girls getting stolen and being forced, you know, to have sex with other people. And dude, I just don't think that is what this is.
Yeah, right. Like from what I get, and I don't know a whole lot, but from what I understand, these are the trafficking stems from the girls that he's with who are willfully with him.
Right.
Who, you know, they say they're on the payroll, quote unquote, but right. We can get into the whatever the benefits of those relationships for either party later.
So watch this, bro. So it's like human trafficking occurs when a trafficker exploits an individual with force, fraud, or coercion. Which coercion could be fucking like, well,
I'll give you money in a private jet if you fly with me to Miami from LA to have sex with me.
Or, hey, have sex with me and you'll get on this record.
I'll get you this record. Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? And so,
which again, scumbag shit.
Scumbag shit. But from, you can fucking say no.
But you can say no. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm saying the when you hear human trafficking, you think scum of the earth, like low life.
Yes.
And again.
I think Taken.
But you think Taken, right?
I think fucking Taken.
But which I think there's a difference between scumbag and like, you know, fucking salt of the earth, like, or not salt of the earth, sorry, scum of the earth, like, criminal piece of shit, like, and again, this is not to excuse dude, what he
who's
did.
Who's the fucking movie guy? Is it
Harvey Weinstein?
Weinstein.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So he was kind of doing that, right? Like, you want to be in the fucking movie? You're gonna suck my dick, right? Like, or whatever that was.
What's the Joe Rogan shit? Have you heard Joe Rogan shit?
No.
Where he goes, Harvey Weinstein did that shit and offered it to my daughter. I would beat the shit out of Harvey Weinstein. And he goes, but if Harvina Weinstein approached my son and said, you got to eat this pussy. And he goes, I will look at my son and go, you're about to be Batman. And I go, he's not wrong. Because I would tell my son to take him to the team.
But bro, like the whole like coercion shit is, it to me, it's like the individual that's there has a choice.
Yeah, I guess you would say you're abusing your power because of your position in, but
yes, but the person can turn them down. It's that's different than yo, suck my dick. I'm gonna beat the fuck out of you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's different.
that's vivid.
I'm just saying, like, that's different. So like,
you know, definitely.
To me, if you, you know, if and let's just say in this case, right? If Diddy goes, yo, have sex with me or you won't get on this record, and you choose to have sex with him, like, to me, that's on you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah.
That's no, not, again, I agree that it's, that,
dude, it's an abuse of power position.
It's an abuse of power, yeah, yeah, I agree. But not for nothing, bro, if you hold the power, then, sorry, man, you get to fucking call the shots. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm also saying that the person that is in the position can just say no.
Yeah,
and just go fuck you. And here's the deal, bro. If you are, if Diddy was constantly doing that shit, very, very similar to Harvey Weinstein, if enough people keep telling you fuck you, you have no movie.
Correct. Yeah, you stop.
The market will dictate who fucking is successful and who's not. So if you guys are giving into that and then later on going like, oh, well, you know, they use coercion to fucking, you know, oh, I wasn't going to get the movie, or I was going to get paid or whatever it is. Bro, like, you got to take responsibility for that shit. If enough people tell them no, then they will understand that is not accepted in that business.
I think the beef I always had with the Harvey Weinstein shit was that no young chicks came out to complain about him. It was always the chicks who were aged out of Hollywood or felt like they had aged out of Hollywood who suddenly weren't getting parts,
right,
who were like now complaining. But it was like, but you weren't complaining when it worked. Like, now you're complaining because you can't get the part anymore because of what he did. And listen, this is not to say what he did.
I'm not saying
right.
It is right.
It was just to say that y'all let him
say no.
The Harvey Weinstein shit was the worst kept secret. And dude, just like the fucking Bill Cosby shit, the worst kept secret in comedy. I remember when Hannibal Buress was making jokes about the shit, like a decade ago, people were like, yo, what the fuck is your problem, bro? Why are you doing this? And it was like, and he's like, nah, because these fucking chicks who are asleep. You know what I mean? Like, and he was like the first person to talk about that shit. And people were kind of just like, yeah, but that's just kind of what he does. Like, just shut the fuck up. And then then it came out and suddenly he was like ahead of the curve. But I remember Hannibal Buress, bro, never blew up the way he should have because people legit kept him off of shit because of the shit he talked about.
Really?
Cosby, because Cosby was considered an icon and a legend. And the worst kept secret. People always knew what he was doing. It wasn't until like the sort of Me Too movement that took down a lot of people. And again, and it's not to say that the movement was wrong.
I'm sorry, bro. He's fucking bitches that are asleep.
Yeah, he's fucking bitches that are asleep. Bro, that's what he was doing.
Now like, I know.
I mean, it was like,
remember the memes?
The Cosby memes were
Cosby are great. So good. There's one where they put his face over Steph Curry shooting a three with the fucking pill into a glass.
I remember that shit.
It's fucked up.
It's fucked up.
It's fucked up.
But I go, but the same people who complained about it later on also got ahead of it. Like, also got ahead because of it at a certain point in time. Mm-hmm. And I think that was my beef. It was like, oh, no, bitch, you're 60 now and you're not getting the parts. And so this is why you're upset. And I think that's what I was like. But wait, you were cool with it when you were 30 and you were willing to do it because it got you the movie part. And now that it didn't get you the movie part, you're like, oh, this is wrong, which you're not wrong. But also, you only became a whistleblower when the system stopped working for you. And so it's hard for me to be like, oh, you're brave. It's like, no, you're just mad that you're not getting parts anymore. Like,
dude, there's a guy who's sort of part of this lawsuit against Diddy that goes, you know, that he was kind of saying that, you know, he had to perform sexual acts and whatever.
Yo, which the Diddy shit involves a lot of gay shit, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But which, frankly, I don't even care, bro.
No.
If you on your gay shit, bro, I don't give a fuck.
It actually makes him more of a killer to me. You know how fucking tough you gotta be, bro, to take advantage of a man? You know how scared people gotta be of you, bro?
But that's the shit, man. It feels like even a lot of the complaints is like, oh, well, Diddy had the power. I was trying to get somewhere, whether it was a record deal or otherwise, trying to get paid, right? And so I felt like I had to do this in order to get paid. To me, that sounds like a fucking decision, bro.
It sounds like a barter.
Yeah. Yes, bro. Yes, it does. And you go, you don't have to do that shit.
Jesse Smollett say he had to suck Diddy dick for a roll on Power.
Bro. And I'm just saying, right? So like, you don't have to do that shit. So like, I'm sorry, man. Like, again, I think it's wrong for people. So let's just say, you know, for argument's sake, that Diddy did all of that shit.
Yeah.
Right? If enough people tell you, fuck you, no.
You do better.
Then you go, okay, this is not working.
I mean, I think with Diddy though, I guess we got to use a legend because I don't want Diddy to sue me. But I mean, he probably did everything he's being accused of.
Right? I mean, I don't know, but if he did, enough people said,
it's the Whitney
enough
shit.
Enough people said yes.
Dude, enough people have talked about Diddy. Like, the shit with Diddy has been like a rumor for 25 years, right? Like people have always talked about this shit going on around them, right? So this is not
The whole like sexual trafficking, and again,
worse than what it is.
This is This is where the letter of the law can be twisted to be really whatever they want it to be.
And also, he's doing this shit with chicks that are celebrities, like Young Miami and what's the other chick's name that sort of named as who were being like drug mules for him or whatever it was. You're like, these are chicks who are talented, who have record deals, absolutely, who have hits, who have, you know, like Young Miami has a career without him. Like,
if Young Miami goes, I'm not doing that shit just to fucking sell records, right? Or to get a deal.
Yeah.
Then she doesn't have to.
Yeah, but the path of least resistance is to fuck with Diddy, right? And then
And you do, and I totally understand somebody in that position going, yo, like, this is the guy.
Oh, I never judge people for taking
He can get me there. But I'm also saying, okay, so then that was your decision. Don't come back fucking 10 years later and going like, well, you know, he made me do it. No, bitch, you fucking decided to do that shit.
Yeah.
And then now you come back later on and going like, oh, well, he did it wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not saying what he did was correct.
Right.
But I'm saying you had a choice.
Right. You had a choice and you were okay with it to an extent.
That's
up
right.
Until it didn't work for you yeah, anymore.
Because it benefited you.
Yeah. Yeah,
dude,
yeah, yeah.
Not for nothing, bro. On lesser levels, we all do that shit.
Which also, dude, he hasn't been arrested or charged with anything. Like the shit we're talking about with Diddy are lawsuits, like on at the civil level.
Right.
When he was raided, they've arrested people around him. They didn't arrest him. So I guess we got to kind of like.
And by the way, because the first thing, right, wasn't it saying that they were like, oh, well, his plane, you know, they raided his house.
Yeah, it was all
plane.
This shit about
that
his
was
plane.
Bullshit. He was in the Miami airport with his family. Yep.
Dude, and so you go, but they didn't arrest him. So, which is, I'm sure it'll come out, like, you know, the story behind that. They arrested people around him. And then the shit that's in court, it's civil lawsuits from people. It isn't the federal.
So
because the other thing, too,
so
the federal government.
For?
The drugs and all kinds of other shit, which again, he could probably pin on the people around him because if they had something on him, I guess they would have grabbed them already. But also, they could be building a case to like finalize it. Bro, there's one thing. When the federal government raids you and they arrest you, you know, which meaning the people around them at this point, the federal government has like almost like a 99% conviction rate. They don't move unless they have a case. Like they
agree.
They don't waste taxpayer dollars without a conviction rate. Like because they, you know, it's an ego thing at that level. It's like when the federal government moves on you, they got you. Like there isn't a, you very rarely beat the federal government in court. And so if he gets arrested, you're like, oh, he's fucked. The people around him are probably fucked. All the people who got arrested. And I'm sure
he's not arrested.
And I'm sure what'll happen though is they'll get some of them to turn.
Correct.
Right? Or
let's testify against them.
Diddy has made it worth their while enough to where they, because I think
where
the other
you
thing here.
Take the fucking plea.
And yes.
And then you're fine when you come out.
And this is alleged. You know, the thing. But there's enough rumors about Diddy. Y'all can go online and look at him about who he is and what he's involved in and all kinds of shit, you know, whether it goes to the drug stuff or whatever, that I think for lack of a better word, Diddy is probably the closest thing to like a mafia a boss that we have in the modern day era in
terms
right? of like allegedly. And so you would, I'm trying to be careful about how I word this. So again, I think that there's a certain level of fear that Diddy has struck on people and why people don't move on him and people don't talk about him enough. And there's rumors
when you're
for a
fucking billionaire, bro.
Correct. And you're a billionaire who has done it legitimately, quote unquote. But also people know
the
there's also thing, and also people know you have people in your back pocket who may or may not be involved in like the raids or, you know, like, you know, for the longest time, bro, people thought Diddy was involved in the murder of Tupac and Biggie.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
You know, like there's a lot of shit where this guy has seemed to have been at the right place or the wrong place, right time or, you know, wrong place, right. Wrong time. And after a while, what I will say is like, this shit's not a coincidence, bro. Like there's where there's smoke, there's fire. And inevitably, everyone gets caught unless you are just powerful enough and have enough people in your back pocket where you're going to get away with this for a while. Like, and so Diddy may or may not be one of those guys, man, where, you know, he wants to play Scarface as a, you know, whatever.
And dude, man, listen, if again, with the whole sex trafficking thing, it's so vague.
Yeah.
Listen, if he broke the law and he has to pay for that, dude, then he has to pay for that.
Of course. But
I'm just saying, if he is, you know, like R. Kelly, for instance.
Yeah.
Okay. R. Kelly broke the law, right? But in our face, we all knew that he married Aaliyah when she was underage.
Yeah.
Okay. So we all knew that shit.
Oh yeah,
and
we
then
celebrated
we saw,
that shit.
And then we saw the fucking shit on camera where he pissed on the fucking 15-year-old, right? So we knew that he was into younger chicks. Okay? Fine. Yeah, dude, if R. Kelly gets, I guess my point is R. Kelly got more years in prison than people who have murdered, you know, fucking 15, 16 people I just don't want to see Diddy go down that road where you go, yo, man, if you saying that he was sex trafficking and sex trafficking meaning that he paid fucking women to come from this state to this state and they perform sexual acts, charge him for that. Fine. But don't be putting them in fucking jail for like 80 years.
Yeah, it should you be know a what different saying? Charge for it.
Just
yeah.
fucking, dude, charge him with that. And then if he was guilty of that, he got to serve his time, then that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, dude, R. Kelly got more time. There's a fucking, and I can't remember his name, it escapes me, but there's a fucking mobster, like an old-time mobster that killed like 15, 16 people. R. Kelly got more time in jail than that person.
That person probably snitched.
Maybe. Okay. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think the sex trafficking thing is weird because, again, there's a semantics behind the law. Also, man, and this will go into like another story I want to talk about. I think that there are terms of relationships, and we could talk about like the power dynamics or whatever and all that. I know that plays a part of it. Like, it's a little more nuanced. But if these women, like, say, Young Miami, and I can't think of the name of the chick that he's with now. Carisha, whatever the fuck, whoever it is. Bro, anyway, if they have decided that to them it is worth this trade-off of, you know, whatever, I have to sleep with him or I have to do favors for him for other people yes. or whatever the fuck, but the trade-off is I get to live a comfortable life, I have all my shit yes, paid for,
bro.
All my stuff, and I agree to that as an adult.
It all is a trade-off, bro.
Dude, because relationships, listen, there are different dynamics in every relationship, right? Like for a lot of us, we want a relationship where, whether or not we like to admit it, they're transactional in a sense of like...
They very much are.
They are transactional in the sense of like a lot of women and men will be like, no, I want a marriage, right? And you go, that's transactional, right? That involves paperwork. That's it. Like we go, I love you so much, I want to get the government involved, right? Like that's a thing for us. And so that transaction could be like, I want companionship, I want love, I want partnership, whatever that is, right? That's cool. And then for some people, there's a trade-off. It's like, hey, you give me stability and support, and that could be financially, emotionally, whatever, and then I give you whatever it is that you desire. And then like every relationship to an extent is transactional. Now, some of it is like there's an emotional transaction involved where like we both fulfill each other in an emotional way and this emotional capacity, and then there's love involved and there's partnership involved and all that. And that's like, those two people have agreed that that's good enough for them. And then in some relationships, bro, where you see like, you know, we see it all the time. You see the old guy or the chick with money and they have a young hot person or just a hot person or whatever. And you go, that person knows that the other person's with them completely because they have money. And the other person knows that they're with me because I'm hot. Like, but it works.
But it works.
They're both in agreement with that.
Yep.
And as long as both people are like, yo, I get XYZ, and then this person gets XYZ, and they're both, and those are the terms of the relationship, like, that's fine. I think, like, we can't determine what a good relationship is for the next person, right? Like, we all have our requirements, if you will.
Yes. It is all transactional, bro. Yep. Listen, bro. I mean, even to bring it personal, I got married really young, at 20. I remember my wife, who's my girlfriend at the time, told me, yo, like, I don't want to be your girlfriend for 10 years. And then me as a guy going like, okay, well, I'm not really ready to, maybe not ready to get married, but I don't want to lose this person that I love. And this is where her mindset is. And so I go, okay, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to get married. Is that coercion? Maybe.
Yeah, I think if it became like a do this or I'm going to leave you, it becomes coercion, right?
That's what I'm saying, right?
But that's you determined that she was going to leave you, not her necessarily saying it.
Correct.
But.
Correct.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
And here, let's take it the other way. If I go, yo, I'm a guy that likes to see my woman sleep with other men. I'm a cuck, right? And then she goes, yo, I'm not really into that. And I go, well, if you want to be my woman, I need you to do that.
Yeah.
And then she decides to, well, like, this guy affords me a good lifestyle, then fuck it. I'll do it.
I'm willing to do it for the trade-off. Yep.
That is a fucking transaction. Is that coercion? You know what I'm saying, man?
I think we forget that. I'm just like... It isn't until, for a lot of people, it isn't until the divorce. And it's weird, right? Because a lot of us will go like, no, it's love. And then...
No, bullshit.
And you want it to be, right? Like, absolutely, that's a big element of it. But a lot of us get to like people get to the divorce and you realize, oh, this is very transactional. And then people will be like, no, that's shitty. But you go, but the marriage, like asking to be married is a transaction, right? Like there's paperwork involved. That in itself is a transaction.
Yeah.
Because if it didn't matter, you wouldn't have to do all of that, right? And so the marriages in themselves tend to be transactional. And again, those things can be emotional. They can be like, it can be like, hey, I provide you this partnership and companionship and friendship and support and empathy and love and da-da-da. And then you give me, maybe it's the same thing in return. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's like, resources or, whatever, connections. Like some people want status, whatever. Either way, there is a trade-off for the partner that you pick.
Yep.
Like, and for some of us, it's like, yo, man, maybe I just want to be loved. Right, because irrespective of what we want to say and the romance behind it, like love isn't unconditional for anyone except for fucking animals and kids, right? Like no one loves, like a man isn't loved unconditionally and some women aren't, right? Yeah. Like, and the condition doesn't have to be material. It could be, I love you with the condition that you love me and you treat me with respect and you treat me with empathy, right? Like it isn't like right. The negative connotation behind that is always like the, oh, that's not true. No, but it is. There's a condition behind it. The condition is I have to treat you with respect and love and that isn't unreasonable, but there is a condition behind it. And so in that in itself makes it a transaction where you go, I want, but I think there's a negative thing to like people when we go, it's transactional. People automatically assume like, money is involved or coercion or whatever. And it's like, no, man, the relationship worked for them in whatever capacity that yep. transaction involved. And so like, I don't know, man, for Diddy, like the whole, like you said, sex trafficking thing was like, no, these women made a decision to be with him. Now, if he's threatening violence and physical harm to, you know, like any kind of physical harm to them and all that, because I think that's what different. Cassie sued him for.
That's different.
That's very different.
That's different, bro.
And that's wrong. But like if Young Miami has had his back the whole time, and if Young Miami's saying, hey man, he gave me a mansion in multiple cities and, you know, this and that. And Young Miami, by the way, has been on a bunch of podcasts and radio shows and that and talks about like—
Recently?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, but this dude— you know, fucks me good and takes me this and that and da da da. I love my life with him and yada yada yada. And the trade off was whatever it was for him. Like, right. Yo, I get you XYZ times a month or a week or whatever, and
yeah,
you
bro.
Come here and you fly there and blah blah blah. And she was like, cool, that worked for
that
them.
Worked for
and
them.
That was the transaction of the relationship. Like, it's like it's fine.
Yeah, that's not sex trafficking.
Right, but in the eyes of the law, it is. But it just sounds worse.
It just sounds worse, right.
Yeah, because you go like, yo, you live in Miami today, but next week I want you to sleep, to fly to LA to sleep with me. And I'm, by the way, because I pay your rent on your mansion or whatever that, you know, I don't know, whatever the stipulations
are. But bro, is
are.
It any different if you have a girlfriend in another state and then you go, yo, like, I want you here this weekend. And then it's just understood that we're going to have sex. Is that trafficking? Because now, or is the trafficking because maybe there's some financial gain?
Or do you make her sleep with friends of yours for other gain? Yeah, like, I don't know.
She don't
like,
have
I,
to I come, bro.
Yeah.
If she comes, if that is the deal, if you know that I like that, and you go, yeah, like, because he affords me this lifestyle, and I choose to come across state lines and do that, is that trafficking, bro?
I don't know. I'm getting real uncomfortable.
I don't know. I don't fuck it. Dude,
I'm like, did she?
Dude, I don't know, man. Listen, Diddy, this, you know, like again, we gave him the carbon footprint because this guy has had impact on society, on culture, on music, on entertainment, you know, whatever comes of this will also have impact.
Yeah.
I also find it sad that, you know, he's one of those like sort of like urban cultural icons, very much like the name just escapes me now. Simmons.
Oh yeah, yeah, Russell Simmons.
Russell Simmons.
Yeah.
Something happened to him too, right? Didn't
yeah,
they hit him
too,
with something,
too,
right? You got a Me Too shit, man. And I'm just like, listen, man, when you're in those powerful positions, and you know, there's certain responsibilities that come with those positions, I guess you just gotta be really fucking careful.
I just think this about goes what back you to, do. And this isn't a defense of what they did. It's just more of a, I hate when we look at the past through today's lenses.
Like that
just,
too.
It just
yep.
doesn't like at that, it doesn't make it right or wrong, but at whatever point in time when he was building his company or he was doing whatever, it was like what he was doing was sort of accepted.
Yep.
It didn't make it less scumbaggy.
Dude,
it doesn't
make you, man,
it right. It doesn't make it whatever.
Our fathers have done shit that would have got them arrested. Their fathers have done shit that would have got them arrested.
Oh, bro, there's and a game that I play all the time.
Fucking going back in time, bro.
Bro, whenever my like uncles or my family will tell stories, say like about my grandma, yeah, I play a game called Felony or Misdemeanor.
They're all felonies, bro.
And it'll be shit that like stories they'll say about like, you know, my grandma, like whatever. And you're just like, bro, she would have been in jail possibly for the rest of her life, right? In today's society.
She might have been hung.
But yeah, bro. Yeah, but you go 1992, that shit was all right. 1985, it was all right. And then you go, no, it was never okay then. It was like, no, no, no. But it was in the eyes of the law and society and whatever, like socially, whatever, like, it was okay.
Yeah.
Through today's lenses, it wasn't.
It's not.
And maybe back then, it really wasn't. But as the sort of accepted norm was. And so, yeah, it's just like, and we all have that family member. We all have that, you know, icon, whether it's like, you know, the music superstars or the movie star or whatever, like, dude, fucking Woody Allen and... You know, like,
dude,
how many people?
How about
wild shit?
Fucking Sean Connery.
Yeah, bro.
Remember, he has the interview where he basically goes
beat the shit out of her.
Yeah,
right?
He's like, oh yeah, like if I had to tell her twice, I'll fucking slap her up. And again, I'm paraphrasing here.
Yeah.
That's not exactly what he said.
Essentially,
he's like, yeah, like if she backtalks me more than once, I got the right to fucking slap her up a little bit.
And that shit was celebrated at the time,
dude.
Like it was, it's just, again, you can't look at the past with like today's like lenses. It's just weird. Like
the lesson here is if you're an older man, don't be fucking around with these young bitches.
Bro, it's funny, man. I had a story this week that I read that I wanted to talk about, which, because, you know, it goes back to the whole relationships being transactional. Like, we all sort of have our thing, right, that we want in a relationship.
Yep.
And for some of us, it's like emotional support. Maybe it's financial support. Maybe it's like, you know, you want to be loved. Maybe for some people, it's sexual. Maybe for some people, it's companionship, partnership, status, whatever. Like, and there was this chick who made headlines this week. I think her name is Gracie. So her name is Gracie Sophia Christie. And she's a Harvard grad.
Okay.
And while she was at Harvard, bro, she was like, you know, she had all these dreams and aspirations and all this stuff. And obviously smart enough to get into Harvard. And she thought like, yo, I could do this and I could go through the next whatever years of doing this, putting in this hard work and doing all this stuff. Right. Or she's like, I could marry into it, which is what she did.
She's not wrong.
She married a guy 10 years older than her, which isn't big, bro. You know, you like, for if you're 23, 22, whatever, she met a fellow like Harvard thing at some like whatever event. And the guy was like 30 or whatever, and she was like 22 or 21 or whatever.
So she was going to be like what law, like Harvard?
Yeah,
law?
Like something. Okay. I can't remember what it was, but essentially she was. It says it in here somewhere, but again, very smart.
Right, got into that school. So whatever she was going to do was
and. As a smart Harvard grad, she did the math and did the practicality, and we went, I could go through all this. Or I could just marry into this and essentially like cut my timeline by like 6-7 years.
Right.
And it was like, so she married a guy that was older than her. And again, 10 years, not much older. So it's not like it's a gross like age gap. And then she's like, and then she admits it today. Hey man, there's some things where I feel, you know, lonely, or I feel this XYZ, but the trade-off was I get this extravagant lifestyle. I get to travel. Right. I get to experience these things. And it's like, and that's what my ultimate goal in life was this, whatever it was. It was like, so she's like a writer now.
She made it.
She made it in her mind. She's a writer for kicks and giggles. She is, you know, she lives in like London half the year and in Miami half the year. And, you know, she gets to buy whatever she wants. She gets a shop. She gets whatever. So she's like, that's what I wanted. And I got that.
Sounds cool.
And that's fine. And I think there was like, I'm reading the article, and then I like to go to the comments of articles, and the amount of people who like get super judgmental and rip this, and, you know, and I just laugh all the time because I'm like, bitch, you married the guy that works at like, McDonald's or wherever, or some minimum wage job, or you married up at whatever that was for you, like you're in the same predicament. There's just like levels to this shit.
Yep.
And it's just weird to see people get judgmental when you go, every single one of your relationships have been transactional to an extent, but I think we get stuck on the financial part. And it's like, for some of us, again, the transactional means I just want to be loved the same way I love you, or I just want to be cared for the same way I care for you,
right,
or I just want to have the status of having the arm candy, or I just want, like, it, that means something different for everyone.
Yep.
And I think we get really caught up in like the judgmental, like what's right or what's wrong.
Yep.
When none of us know, because we've all been in shitty relationships and we've all been in good ones and we've all been in like, and we just assume that our way is the right way, or whatever the Hallmark movie is the right way. And this is like,
dude, and then we all look at the other side, right? Where you go, like in that situation where she goes, oh, well, I have all this stuff, but you know, I don't know, maybe I don't have an attentive husband.
Yeah. And that's probably, I think, some of her beef.
Right.
Was like, yeah.
And so you all, you know, you look at that and I think that we forget, and I think as humans, we just like, we forget to look at the positives. Like I know someone who has sort of like looked at their lives and go like, oh, you know, I could have done this like career wise, but maybe I did this with my kids instead. Right. And you look at that and you go, okay, well, would you trade all the time that you had with your kids for that career? And it's like, well, no. And I'm like, yeah, so you won. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you won. And but I think that you don't, when you're in it and it's your norm, it's natural to look outside of that and go, oh, I could have been so much more maybe in these other areas, rather than looking at it and going like, well, wait a minute. If I was so much more in these other areas, then I'm not as much involved in the areas that I'm in now, which are really important to me.
Yeah. Dude, I am painfully self-aware of the... And this could be at the friendship level, this could be at a romantic level, this could be at a career level, this could be that there are certain things that I can provide, right, that sort of get me loved or wanted or whatever with conditions, yeah, right, like we were talking before. And then there are things that I have that are shortcomings, right? And so I know that if I don't, you know, and again, these things could be financial, these things could be like I'm entertaining, or I could be fun, or I could be whatever, and I go, you know, people want me around because of, and this isn't exclusive to me, but because I can provide this, right?
Yep.
It could be, hey, you're a good conversation, or hey, you could be fun, or hey, you could, you know, whatever.
Provide money.
Provide money. Yeah,
provide,
like, it could be
value.
Anything.
Whatever, yeah.
Exactly. Like, I'm painfully self-aware. There's certain things that I go, like, oh, if I eliminated these things, like, fuck, would these people want me around, right? Like, and I know that
the trade-off. That's jobs included and everything. Yes.
Everything, bro. Yep. And I think that applies. That isn't exclusive to me. I think that applies to most of us, right?
Absolutely, bro.
There is something that you can provide. And, bro, and some of that is, hey, you're a good hang. You're a good personality. You're good looking. You're whatever that thing is, or multiple things are, that goes across the board. And I think a lot of us are aware, like I'm very aware of, like, there's certain things about my personality, about whatever, that I go are good or bad, right? Like in either direction. And I think that most people aren't self-aware enough to know, like, hey, this is the sort of the thing that I provide, quote unquote. But I know that. And it's funny, man, because I go, yo, is that liberating, or does that trap you more? Because you go, yo, do I have to be more of that thing to keep people around me? Or because, truth be told, like, I went through a period of my life where I went, I'm trying to figure out a way to word this. Like, dude, perfect example, man. Like, I go, you've known me long enough to know this. I know that I am sort of like the class clown, right? Like, I like people around me to feel good, to be happy, to be whatever, right? Like, and so, and I would say that, dude, you don't get up and try to tell jokes on stage because you, like, it takes a certain type of, like, person that is seeking like validation from other people, yes, to do that, right? And so I go, there's a part of me that knows that part of me is endearing to people around me, and people like it, and people think, right? And then the flip side of that is there's a certain pressure that comes with, and these are first world problems, right? But there's a certain pressure that comes with, like, feeling you have to always be quote unquote on, right? Like, I'm not allowed to have like an off day, which means, like, for me, an off day, like, to you might be like, yo, Juan's in a mood. But to me, I'll go, yo, I'm feeling perfectly fine. I'm just quiet. I just want to be in the cut and watching everyone and everyone else having a good time, yeah, and everyone else making the jokes and everything, but I'm perfectly fine.
I don't want to be the focus of attention.
But exactly.
Not
but,
today.
But because of who I've sort of been for the bulk of my life.
We say you fucked up.
Exactly. Yeah. And you go, yo, what's wrong with you?
Today.
Juan's moody today. Dude, exactly. And I go, bro, and there's something that comes with that where it goes like, yo, it's exhausting and it drains and it beats on you and it does all this stuff. And I go, and I've had moments where I'm like, fuck, is that the thing that people want me around for? And if I'm not that, then do people want me around at all? Dude, as a friend, as a lover, as a coworker, as whatever that thing is, bro. It's like,
bro, that's why we get along. Because we could sit there, watch something on TV and not say a fucking word for 30 minutes and just watch, or maybe just react to whatever the hell we're watching. Like, neither of us are looking for the other one to provide anything.
So true, bro, because I could go like we get the shit all the time, because like obviously we're like very opposites when it comes to that, where people be like, yo, Sean doesn't talk, and I'm like, no, but he does. Like, when we're together, obviously we talk all the time. But I think to that point, I go, yo, we could sit in silence forever
and it's fine,
and I don't feel like I need to entertain you.
Nope.
And then you don't feel like you need to carry a conversation. Well, so we're good.
You know, I'm not.
We're both good. But I go, I also never feel the pressure to feel like, yo, Sean's gonna get bored if I don't talk. Like, yeah, I know you're perfectly okay with being quiet, and we could just watch something and react, and I don't feel like I have to be like on. Where, you know, like for a lot of my life, I feel that way. And it's hilarious, man, because I like it's something that I've like sort of like come to grips with in the last few years, where I'm like, like, I catch myself all the time where, like, well, people will give me shit about being quiet or being, you know, like a certain way. And I'm just like, and it came like to light in a lot of these relationships, and not just like romantically, but I think from a friend level or personal level or work, where people are just like, I think I got called out on it enough where it starts to make you question yourself. And you're just like, nah, I just don't want to be this person for the minute
today,
because that's not who I want to be all the time, but I was that person because at some point in time there was an insecurity there where I felt like I needed to entertain, or I felt like I needed to make you want to be around me,
and it became
the expectation. Yeah. And then eventually it was like, yo, that shit wore me out, you know what I mean? In a very different way. And so that, I guess, fucking long story short, is like that in itself could be the transaction for some people. We'd be like I think we hear transaction and it always has to be like monetary or whatever. And it's like, no, man, sometimes it's energy. Sometimes it's just like,
it could be anything, bro. Like I said, energy.
Yeah.
It could be money. It could be time, you know, any of that shit.
Yeah. Bro. And but by the way, dude, when that's reciprocated, I think that's a lot of times when people click like really, really well, when you're like, when there's like an understanding of like, you're like, you said, like, you and I click as friends really, really well, because there's like this understanding between us, like, we could sit in silence and I know I don't have this expectation. And then like, I could, and you probably had this expectation of like, I don't need to fucking talk, because Juan will talk by himself to the wall for hours if I need, you know, and there's this like acceptance of like who we are, and we're good with that. And I think that works at the friendship level. I think that works romantically. I think that works like, you know, like people who work together. I think that works with, you know, like in all aspects of life. I think that works. People who click are when you sort of get to understand each other at that like very core level of who people are. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's it. I think that you have to take the time to understand people at their levels and understand that they're not going to be exactly who you want them to be at every moment.
No, dude, and then, you meant and exhausted. And be, it would be, oh my God.
Yeah. And then be accepting of that.
Yeah. Because I think a lot of us feel this like pressure to be this perfect. And perfect is like, you know, in quotes, like perfect is different to the individual, to whatever, like the entity. Like, you're just like, you feel this pressure to be perfect to maybe this person, and then perfect to this person, and it's perfect. But all those versions of perfect are different.
Yep.
For each like performance, you know, like
it's, yeah, bro, it's just exhausting.
It's fucking horrible. Bro, I heard one of my favorite quotes ever, and I've heard this like years ago, and it's something that like, I'm not perfect at by any means, but it is like a great barometer for like, I guess finding peace within yourself, which was like, I think I've heard like Rogan say this all the time, and I've heard other like I've read it in books and quotes, but it was like, you should aspire to be the person you pretend to be when you're trying to get laid. And it's like, bro, and it's such a great.
That's exhausting.
It is. But also you go, why do I pretend to be that person?
Right.
And then you go, because I want to be. Like, I truly want to be. Right. And like for years, I remember hearing this. And it was like, and it is really, it's a really great North Star, I will say, for like the, like finding your center.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, if I am truly this person, I aspire to be this person, like I could, like I'd be happy because that's who I pretend to be, or the show that you put on when you are trying to impress. And it's like, why am I trying to impress, by the way? Because I do think that's like something to aspire to.
Okay.
And like, and I heard that years ago, and I remember thinking, like, again, like no one ever gets perfect at that, and I don't know, I'm not perfect at it.
What if you want to get laid by multiple women?
You're killing my thing, bro.
Oh, sorry.
but it's a great North Star where you go, yo, that's the person I aspire to be.
Yeah.
And that's the person that I'm most comfortable in that skin is that. But like, for whatever reason, I'm not that person. And it's like, man, if you aspire to be that person and you're going to fail and you're going to have bad days, just but that's the person you should aspire to be.
What if it's just not who you are, man? You know, I think that it's so liberating to be able to be yourself and to have the people around you accept you for just who you are. Like I've walked into even family situations, man, that people have known me for years, and I walk into a room and they go, oh man, like, why do you have that puss face on? And I do. So like, I know for a fact that like, I have like this, You know how they say, like for women, a resting bitch face?
Yeah, yeah.
I have like a resting dick face or a resting asshole face, because there's like, if I'm not, and I could be just exactly fine, but I'm not fucking smiling all the time. I don't smile for no reason. If I'm not finding something funny, then I'm not just fucking smiling. Or if I'm not around people that bring me energy, then I'm not upbeat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just who I am. I am who I am at the time based on where I am and who I'm around and what kind of fucking mood I'm in. And there's few people that just accept me for that. And that's okay. And I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm also perfectly fine with understanding that there's going to be people that's going to look at me and go like, and make a judgment of just like, that guy's an asshole.
No.
And I'm not.
You have to be comfortable.
And I'm not, but I'm okay with that. Yeah. But I go like, yeah, like I'm okay. Dude, perfect example. When I'm in the gym, I have headphones on. I've been going to the same gym now for approximately 2 years. I'm pretty sure that most people in the gym think I'm an asshole. There's a few people, bro, that I say like good morning to, like in like when I go in, or if I see them, you know, a quick like what's up, but like I have headphones on and music, and I don't stop to talk to anybody, and I'm sure that there's people in there that think that I'm a dick.
Yeah,
and I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, it's funny because I've heard like people like when they comment about you, where they'll be like, But he doesn't talk, or he comes off. Yeah. I'm like, nah, like you guys just don't know. Like that'll be my thing. But I say that to say, like, to go back to what I was saying before, like it isn't so much to like a fake person or like create a person. It's like, I think that means something different to everyone. Like for me, for example, you know, there's this thing where like guys like, yo, you have to be a dick or you have to be an asshole to sort of be liked, or like for women to like you, or for like this thing, right? And like that doesn't go with my personality. Yeah. And so my personality is like, I like to say like I'm kind, not nice, right? Those are two different things. Like I can be kind, but I do what needs to be done, right? And so like when you say like, hey, pretend to be the person that you are when you're trying to get laid, to me that means like, that confidence that you exude in being who you are, like you should aspire to actually have that confidence in your everyday life. It's not like, hey, be the suave like guy with the lines. It's be the confident guy.
That's what I think
guy.
About.
No, that's not what I mean at all. It's like be who you are within yourself, like with that confidence of like, hey, I'm so self-aware. And as I've gotten older, I'm very comfortable. Like I've gotten more comfortable with my skin of like, hey, I can be these things because I know who I am. Like I can be this nice or I can be this kind or whatever, however you want to call it. I could be like, you know, I could have that resting bitch face, or I could be moody here, or you could say I'm an asshole or pretentious or whatever, because I'm like at my core, I know who I am, and the people around me know who I am, who truly spend time with me know who I am. And so like I no longer feel the need to like put on a show. And I think that's like sort of something that's come with age. I think for me, for sure, was like younger me would be like not okay with people being like, yo, you're an asshole, or hey, and you know, like you were saying, like people be like, oh yeah, Sean's an asshole, he doesn't talk. And it's like that would have bothered me. Like 27 year old me would have been really bothered by that. Like 37 year old me was like, oh, it's cool, you're not around me enough, like sorry, like whatever, like I move on.
That's exactly how I feel.
Yeah, and again, like 27 year old me would have had a problem with that. 37 year old me is like, man, sorry about that, man. Like, I'm probably not around you enough to give a fuck. And I think that's...
I'd be like, you know who I am?
Yeah, exactly. Dude, like, for sure.
To even have an opinion?
Dude, you and I, like, I mean, you have examples of people who will tell you something about me where you go, nah, you're not around them enough. Just like I have shit about you. Or, like, again, like, people will be like, yo, Sean's this. And I'm like, yeah, nah, you're not around him enough. Like, you don't know him like that. Where, like, I know for you, like, early on, like, even when we work together, where people will be like, they'll have an opinion on me where you're like, nah, yeah, you're just not around him enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's like, that would have bothered me at 27. At 37, I'm like, that sucks. Like, I just don't care enough.
Sucks for them.
Because I know, like, I'm more comfortable in my skin.
No new friends.
Yeah, exactly. Bro, and I go, yeah, I'm more comfortable in my skin. And I've embraced that. And then I think I have the confidence to be that person versus like sort of trying to fit in with what you want me to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which you don't have at 20 something years old, bro. You have that now. And to take this full circle, it's like, I think then that leads to what you want out of friendships, what you want out of family relationships, what you want out of romantic relationships, what do you want? Like, and I think for everyone that is so different, like, and we like to like put this box around like, you know, the Diddy shit might be like, well, that's fucked up because he should want so-and-so for, I don't know, whatever our definition of love is, but he might be like, nah, I want you to do X, Y, Z. And then she might go, I just want some dude to pay for my mansion and yada, yada, yada. And that might work for her. And I think it takes a certain individual to get comfortable with themselves enough to get to that point in time. Right or wrong is for us to decide.
What I don't agree with is that if it's years later and then she goes, oh, well, I did it under coercion.
Yeah, no.
Now it's sex trafficking. That's
just means
bullshit.
She aged out. Yep. She aged out of the program. It's weird, man.
What else we got, bro? Let's fucking
ooh.
We got a few things, man.
Like, which one you want to touch on? Because I'm looking at the list.
How are we doing on the fucking time?
Dude, we're right at we're 58 minutes in, so
fuck.
We spent too much time talking about Diddy.
Okay.
Though that might be the first Carmen footprint that took the whole hour.
No, but we did touch on the Harvard grad.
Okay. That's just true. Yeah. This is true. So what do you man, I'm trying to go through. Yo, I guess you want to talk about this women's Final Four? Is it just finished?
We were
just
watching. Might as well. Hit that up.
But so women's Final Four, obviously we know women's college basketball has been, you know, fucking exponentially more popular than men's college basketball. I would argue NBA right now in March. You know,
which, by the way, I am watching the men's as well. The men's Final Four tomorrow.
Dude, I haven't watched a single minute of men's college.
Oh, you have to watch it.
Not even a tournament. And I normally would watch the tournament.
The Final Four, all good teams, like, you have to watch.
Yeah, so I'm going to make it a point. If I don't get to watch tomorrow, I'll watch the championship game for sure. But, yeah, and, you know, to be fair, I didn't want to watch the women's either, but I did watch, you know, I think from the halfway through the third quarter on of the LSU and Iowa game, obviously Caitlin Clark.
Because I made
Angel Reese. You made me. I owe Sean for that F1.
That's right.
I owe Sean for
that
F1
shit, man.
Sean was hitting me up at 1 a.m. talking about I'm watching F1. Fuck you. So I watch women's college basketball. And bro, it's funny, man. I get shit about being sexist about the, I want y'all to know I hate men's college basketball just as much. And it's not, it has nothing to do with the gender. It just has to do with like, this is me talking shit, obviously. I don't want to watch people do shit I could do. I could shoot a jump shot. I could make a bounce pass. I want to watch
you
guys.
You sent me a text that said, "No, man, I can't watch. They just missed a layup."
She did. I was like, bro, if I want to watch people miss layups, I'll go play at the Y in the rec league. Listen, I'm just insulting on myself. I'm self-aware enough to know. Like, I need to watch people finish above the rim doing shit that I can only do in my daydreams. Like,
oh, in a video game.
I can make a bounce pass. And I can shoot a layup. But I will say, obviously, the women's college basketball game, more popular, generates more stars, whatever, than men's college basketball. A lot of that has to do with the fact that they stick around.
Yeah.
And so you develop a relationship, you're bought in, you know, you get the storylines. Like, sports for us is a soap opera, right? Like men love sports, and obviously we like to think of the, like, oh, the game part of it, and it's
the romantic part of it, the physicality,
but it is absolutely the romantic part of it. There are storylines where we hate this team because of XYZ, and we hate this player because of XYZ, and it is a soap opera, and that's what college women's basketball gives us. It gives us a soap opera because it gives us Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and Coach Malarkey from LSU, who's, like, hated, and, like, you get these characters, you get villains, and you get heroes, and you get anti-heroes, and you get all this stuff. Like, it gives you entertainment at its core, right? And women's college basketball has been great about doing that in a way that men's college basketball isn't, because you never get a chance to sort of, like, get into the character, because that character is on to the next thing.
Yeah. And men's college basketball is really one and done.
Yes.
Right? You can play one year, you can go to the NBA. Whereas women's college basketball, as you stated, man, is like these women are there for 4 years plus. And they're developing these stories. And then the big story this year, right? So last year, LSU and Iowa, LSU star Angel Reese, Iowa star Caitlin Clark played in the final. LSU beats Iowa. And then these two end up in the Great Eight.
Yeah.
And Iowa avenges the loss to LSU to make it to the Final Four, ends up playing UConn, who is a historical juggernaut in women's college basketball, and they end up beating them tonight. So it's all set up now, and who the one that we're not talking about is probably the best team. So we have the individual stars,
yeah,
right? We have the Caitlin Clark, the Angel Reese, the Paige Beckers, and then we have the team that is the juggernaut, which is South Carolina Gamecocks.
Beating the brakes on everybody.
Yes, they have a phenomenal team.
Yeah.
Is now going to go against Iowa, who has the best women's basketball player of all time.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, I think I mentioned this while we were watching the Iowa game, UConn. It's like, yes, we're all tuned in right now to watch Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese in that LSU game and Paige Buckner, Paige Beckers, and what? But like, none of this ever translates to the pro game. Like, we never end up watching WNBA. This isn't the first time that we've been locked.
I never thought about that until you said it earlier,
bro. I'm looking at it. It's like there's college women's basketball has always, for the last 2-3 decades, given us stars. Right? We had Lisa Leslie. We had Bella Don, whatever. We had Sabrina Ionescu. We had, like, you know, obviously now we have Caitlin Clark, we've had Candace Parker, we've had, like, it never translates to viewership or us being more into the WNBA. I don't know why that is. I think it's because
marketing, bro.
I think it's because college basketball for women did a better job at marketing, but also I think the storyline gets a longer time to develop, right? You get like these 2-3-4 years that you get to know these girls, they get into these rivalries, and then they get into these big games.
Sue Bird, Diana Taurasi.
Taurasi, like, bro, you think of Rebecca Loco, Lisa Leslie, Cheryl Swoops, even in the 90s. Like, like all these women who play college basketball who were stars, who we were all locked in on, the minute they got to the WNBA, we stopped paying attention. Yep. No one cares. And it's funny because now I see all this like hype behind like, oh, the women's game is growing like differently. It's like, no, we've always paid attention to college women's basketball as long as they gave us a storyline, a soap opera, like every other sport that we care about. And then the minute they get into the WNBA, we stop caring. Yeah. Why? Because the pro men's game gives us the storylines that we're after.
The other thing, bro. It's for me at least, and maybe for the rest, maybe for some of you out there as well, you have NFL that goes through February, right? Super Bowl's usually early February.
Yeah.
March comes around, you got March Madness, right? You got the men's, the women's March Madness, and those are and they are strategically placed on TV in timelines that don't interfere with each other.
Yeah.
So you can watch both. The moment that's over, it's NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
NBA playoffs goes on for a good month.
Oh, it's
if not longer.
It's longer. Yeah, yeah. It starts like mid-April and it runs
through. And it runs through like June.
Yeah.
And then I believe the WNBA starts somewhere during those playoffs.
Yeah.
Or around there. And then, like, for me, I just, like...
It's a month of summer vacation.
Yeah, bro.
We're all in on NFL.
For me, I go from the time that the NBA finals finish, there's maybe a 1 to 2 month lull of no sports, and then the NFL comes back. So say 2 months. I'm not watching WNBA, bro.
Yeah, just don't think... I think there's too much to do. I think because it's in the middle of summer, we'd rather be at the beach... It's the break. Yeah,
bro, it's the break from sports, and I love sports
because it never like it's funny, man. Like I'm watching these highlights, and again, this is not to take away from Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark gave us the drama, gave us a rivalry, gave us whether we want to admit it or not. There's a racial component that's involved in that. There's a socioeconomic component that's involved with that. There's rivalry schools. There's traditional power. There's like every part of it. There's a coach who's controversial. There's so much involved. There's like an underdog state, like a lot of it. Again, it's a soap opera that plays out perfectly, and it's a great story. And again, I watched more than I would have watched. Like you've been locked in, and I would have never tuned in. I think if it wouldn't have been these two players and these two schools and all that,
dude. You know what else, bro?
It doesn't translate, bro. It never translates to the pros.
You know what else, man? Is in that storyline. Which I think is that it's a great point or a great viewpoint of it being a storyline. LSU is a predominantly black team.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa is a predominantly white team, and there's even that whole perspective of shit talking between the two that is looked upon favorably when Iowa does it versus when LSU does it.
And I think it's part of what made me like Caitlin Clark more was that last year when Angel Reese was giving her the show,
she gave
the finger and the whole thing. She's talking shit, and I love when they interview Caitlin Clark. She's like, nah, she should talk.
You should
shit.
Do that.
That's part of the game. And I was like, okay, she didn't go up there and cry. She didn't go up there and whine. Because Caitlin Clark talks shit too, which I love.
Well, she's the one that did the whole
you can't see me.
Yes. Yeah.
And I love that shit. Yes. Talk your shit, girl.
Absolutely,
talk
bro.
Your shit.
And the NBA. Whether you watch it or you've watched historically, those guys talk shit.
Bro, Steph Curry, who is beloved, is the king of talking shit and trolling and things. But because he's Steph Curry and he's little and his game is very like transferable, he gets away with it. But it doesn't work for like a Draymond Green. And you're like, obviously, physicality wise, Steph Curry isn't doing what Draymond Green does. But Steph Curry talks a lot of shit and trolls and does whatever. And it's like, that's fun. That's what you should do. And I remember when Caitlin Clark did that last year. And I remember watching that press conference going like, oh man, how she answers this is going to dictate a lot of how I feel about her. And the fact that she would, they were just kind of like, they were trying to make a big deal out of it, to your point of what you were saying, like, it tends to be like a racial thing, like the shit talking.
Yeah, right.
And she was like, nah, she should talk shit.
Yep.
She beat me. She did so. That's part of the game. And I was like, oh, I love you for that because you can dish it and you can take it.
And you
can
take it.
And you're right. It's absolutely part of the game. And, for any of us who grew up anywhere where basketball was like, bro, like where I grew up.
Through any sport, bro. any competitive sport, oh my God, you talk shit.
You talk, bro, you talk so much shit. And I go, for some people, bro, basketball just in itself is a, like where I grew up, basketball was like, dude, if you were the nerd kid or the non-popular kid or maybe the kid being bullied, if you could survive on a basketball court, it was like your way of, I don't want to say survival because that's like an over-exaggeration. But as a kid, it is survival. It was like, yo, if you could be good at basketball, it's sort of, like bought you like the freedom to sort of not get picked on or not have to worry about walking through certain neighborhoods or not like it made your childhood a lot easier if you could ball. And basketball is one of those sports because it is played in a lot of urban areas and it is played, you know, across the board, like the burbs play basketball and the urban areas play basketball. Like basketball shit talking is universal. And so to me, there's something very different, very romantic about the shit talking involved in basketball and being able to back that up versus a lot of other sports. Yeah. And I think to Caitlin Clark, like understanding the culture that's behind that of like the, nah, she shit talk her shit. No, yeah. She should.
Bro, and being from the Midwest,
I'm insufferable at any sport when I talk shit. Insufferable, bro. Anybody who's been around me who plays any sport with me, when I start shit talking, I'm never fucking stopping.
Including
bro.
Video games.
Oh my God. Yeah. Don't let me get you in 2K. Insufferable, bro. And even as like a kid who was like sort of like picked on and whatever, don't let me have a good game of basketball, which happened very rarely. But when I did, I was talking my shit, bro, like the whole time. And so like I can respect and I have like this admiration for like the swagger that comes along with like what Caitlin Clark did and Angel Reese did and Paige Bucker did. Like they're these, like, I love sort of how they represented the sport. Yeah. And I think I texted you that day when I was like, yo, I love the intensity. Like, I can't watch women's college basketball. I go, but the intensity, like, I was like, man, I have a tough time watching it. But the intensity, they earned my viewership by battling and just the sense of urgency that they had. I go, yo, you could tell they cared about the game, which is more than I can say for any men's college basketball game I've watched in the last, like, decade.
Dude, so let's see what happens, man. Like, you know, Angel Reese has already declared for the WNBA draft.
Yeah.
You know, Caitlin Clark's probably going to go number one. You know, let's see if it translates.
Dude, we'll watch their first game versus each other in the WNBA. And then after that, we'll just lose. Dude, the women's game, this isn't new. This isn't unique. We think it is because Caitlin Clark is an all-time great, but it's not. Like, if you go back over the last two decades, you could name so many women who were stars in college who just fell off. Like,
and they didn't really fall off. They performed well.
But they
haven't been marketed to the same.
Correct. Yeah, I think from a popularity or from a marketing or from a like the viewership, all that. Dude, which by the way, kudos to these women. I saw something that the LSU-Iowa game ranked higher than like the World Series.
Oh, and yeah.
A lot of other big like sports, you know, men or women.
Events. Yes, absolutely.
Because people tuned in, as they should have. Again, these are LSU has been a dynasty school. They have a controversial coach who I fucking love.
I love her.
Bro, Malarkey is the blackest old white lady I've ever met in my life. I love, like, listen, say what you want about her. And I know there's been all these pieces released in all kinds of, like, websites and newspapers and yada, 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 like these hit pieces and whatever against her. She talks like the rest of us talk when we talk amongst our friends.
Yeah.
And I think there's a level of respect. There's a reason why she's still the coach at LSU and she hasn't been affected by all these, like, hit pieces is because, you know, to use a sort of street term, she keeps it real.
Yeah.
And her players recognize that. And, like, Absolutely. The people who sort of accuse her of being racist, it's like, bro, she coaches a team of all black chicks.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't think she could be racist if she coaches a team of all black.
At the very end, she was like, yo, you know, after Iowa beat them, she went to Caitlin Clark and she's like, I've never seen anybody like you.
Yeah. Like, dude, like, she just gave credit where props. Credit is due.
Exactly.
Yeah, dude. And, yo, the times where she was like, yo, I bet she wouldn't talk shit to so-and-so like that. I go, she's fucking right, bro. When she was, I'm like, she was so right. But she said the shit out loud that most people wouldn't say because it's not PC, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, they're like, oh, she's misogynistic, you know, because she makes, like, quotes about men versus women. And it's like, no, she's saying the shit that we all think, but she says it out loud. I remember her, like, the one of the things in the hit piece that came out was like, players coming out saying that she was critiquing their weight. And it was like, bro, we do that shit in men's sports all the time, bro.
And she's not critiquing fat to the season.
Bro. Yeah, she's not critiquing Victoria's Secret models, bro. She's critiquing athletes. She should critique their weight and their fitness and all that. Right. It's like, bro, you're giving it a pass because they're women. It's like, no. I should be able to say you're fucking overweight if your job is to be in shape. Yeah. You know, like, and that's what she did. And so, like, I think that I love... And she hasn't changed who she is, man. And I love that about her. And the fact that she hasn't been sort of fired and let go in this climate they were in, they were so sensitive. Like kudos to LSU and that AD and all that for leaving her around. And her players who recognize like who she is as a person, because they're the ones with her day in, day out, and having to sort of like, you know, play for someone who gets constantly accused of being this like horrible human being. And I'm going to tell you what, man, the way those girls play, and I saw the sort of maturity level and the way those girls cheered each other on and all that stuff. I go, you don't do that for a coach that you hate and don't respect and don't have love for. Yeah. Like, you don't go all out like that for someone who is what these like sort of hit pieces accuse her of being, man. Like some malarkey too, man. Like, go as a coach, tons of respect to her, man. She's been incredible.
So this is correct. Her name, Kim Mulkey.
Is it Mulkey? Why did I say malarkey?
I was like,
my bad, Kim.
I'm like, it kind of sounds familiar, but not really.
I don't know why I thought malarkey.
Kim Mulkey.
Oh, man. You know what? I was thinking of an old white phrase. Yep. I was like, that's a bunch of malarkey.
That's a bunch of malarkey.
My bad, Kim.
When you said it, I was just like, is that really her name? Mulkey.
Fuck, it is Mulkey?
M-U-L-K-E-Y.
Ah, fuck. My bad, Kim.
See? So on that malarkey. Tell them where they can find us.
Let's go, malarkey. Fuck, not courtside at an LSU game, evidently. I'm never getting invited. My bad, Mulkey. I love you. At the Common Football Podcast on IG. At the Common Football Podcast on Facebook, YouTube, fucking Twitter at Carbon FP Pod or X or whatever it's called these days.
X.
And then all your favorite audio platforms, the Carbon Football Podcast on Amazon, Audible, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Pocket Cast, Geo7, Ghana, all that. Go out there, follow us, like, let us know what you think. I like the shit talking, you know. Well, let's keep it going on websites. I see TikTok, we get a lot of shit talking at Carbon Football Podcast on TikTok, I think, too. So, yeah, go on there. There's a guy who makes it a point to tell us how much he hates us every week. I love it.
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's great. I'm pretty sure he's a little retarded. At least his profile picture looks like he's a little retarded.
He's just slow.
But
what do they call him? Sped?
I don't think that's politically correct.
Sorry. I got that from my teenage sons. You know what's funny, man? Having teenage sons, it just reminds me that shit doesn't change that fucking much. My son was telling me about a story about him traveling with his lacrosse team on the bus and the malarkey that they were fucking doing on the bus.
Kim Mulkey. Damn it, Kim.
And I'm just like, dude, shit doesn't change that much.
we're people are gonna people, man.
Absolutely. Yo, as always, we appreciate you guys and we will see you next week.
See you next week.
Peace.